Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, on this All Saints Sunday. We're so glad that all of you were able to join us for the worship of our God together in this good place this morning. If you happen to be a visitor among us, know that you are most especially welcome. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed a bit later in the service, for this always helps us to know each other better. And if you are our guest today, we would especially look forward to meeting you and to getting to know you better following worship today. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? Praise the Lord, all you faithful people. By the grace of Christ, we are God's own.
Let us pray. God of all creation, of all that has been and all that is yet to be, God of our world, both seen and unseen, we gather in your presence this morning, preceded by the saints before us and surrounded by the saints around us. We gather to lift our voices in praise, to be transformed into your saints, and to be sent out to gather others to share in the good gifts you offer. And we gather to worship because we know that all we have comes from your generous hands. Because even when we turn away, you are calling us home and patiently waiting for our return. And because you offer grace and hope incomparable to anything we could ever imagine. God, as we worship today, may we remember that you alone are holy and worthy of praise. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us all about your great love and care for us. Amen.
Thank you.
you join with me as together we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Each year on All Saints Sunday, our church pauses to remember those members who have passed from this life to the church triumphant in the last year. Though they are lost to us in death, we know that they are not lost to God. And we believe by faith that they were never more alive than they are today. It is with love and much gratitude that the First Baptist Church remembers this day John L. Anchors, Mary Louise Claiborne, Thomas C. Davis, F. Vreeland George Jr., Janet Grant Girton, Phyllis G. Hardiman, Flory M. Kirkley, Clarence B. Lamar Jr., R. Randolph Lazard, Robert H. Wyatt, and Marilyn E. Yeomans. Many of these persons leave behind family members and dear friends who continue to grieve and to mourn their passing. Knowing that as we do, would you offer them encouragement today by joining now in the unison statement of support printed in your order of worship? We thank God for the gift of life, for all of its wonder and mystery, its friendships and fellowships, and for the ties that bind us so close to one another. We remember your loved one with kindness and affection, and we thank God for the investment of life in this fellowship of faith. Our prayers attend you and yours in these days of acceptance and adjustment, and we pledge our help to you during this and all times.
Thank you. The first lesson today is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 3 and 15 through 18. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me, and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are the four kings who shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever."
Our second lesson this morning is the letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 23. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Luke chapter 6 and beginning to read at verse 20. These are words described by Luke as constituting a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. They're words especially appropriate for All Saints Sunday, but also it occurs to me this morning they're especially good to hear at the end of a long and contentious election season. Hear these words of Jesus. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you,
If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the written word of the Lord. Each year on All Saints Sunday, we remember those members of our church who have passed from this life to the next and entered the church triumphant. Of course, if we're going to be able to say anything in memory of those persons who have died, we must first of all face up to death. And that, it seems to me, is an exceedingly difficult thing for us to do. Most of us don't like to think, let alone speak about death. In fact, we do everything we can to avoid that word. Christians over time have used various expressions to talk about death without using the word. We have used expressions like, he passed away, or she fell asleep in Jesus. Many persons try to ignore the experience of death or say that it isn't real. But over and over and over against our easy answers about death or our desire to ignore it or to explain it away, the finite nature of our humanity remains. Death is, as the Apostle Paul described it, the last enemy. Jerome Nilsson once said, in response to the phrase, death must have his day, that death doesn't want just one day out of a person's life. He wants every day. Death must be reckoned with, for it will not go away. And yet, in the face of this final enemy, we go on remembering those who have died. Our secular as well as religious calendars are filled with special moments when we recall the lives of those now gone. We remember the martyrs of the church. We think of soldiers who have died in the service of their country. And we observe All Saints Sunday, as we are today, recalling all of the great Christians of the church. You may have noticed that all three of our lectionary scripture texts for today make us aware of the saints of God, but also remind us the fact that God's people have always had to contend with hostile forces and the presence of evil in the world. That's always been the case. In the letter to the Ephesians, God is praised for having formed a body of the redeemed by subduing the powers of hostility and disobedience. In the Gospel according to Luke, we heard a portion of Jesus' sermon on the plain where he offers his blessings on the saints and his woes to all who resist and oppose the kingdom of God. And the prophet Daniel, even Daniel, could see the saints who are to possess the kingdom, but also those four beasts who are prepared to work against it. The Bible is never, ever blind to the reality that God's faithful ones live out their lives fully aware of the immensity of evil in our world. Now, it may strike you that all of that figurative language in the book of Daniel we heard a few moments ago reminds you a great deal of the book of Revelation. And that is because both are part of what scholars refer to as apocalyptic literature, visionary writings which often used extremely bizarre symbolism to interpret the present and to look forward to that final judgment day and radical transformation of everything at the hands of God. Daniel is just such a book. For the prophet is interpreting the wars and the persecutions of his own day as the last actions of the forces of evil. And he's looking ahead in time to the day when God is going to act decisively to establish his kingdom on the earth. And Daniel says, "Those who are to be rewarded are God's holy ones, God's saints, those Jews who remained faithful to God during their time of persecution on the earth." Now, scholars think that the book of Daniel was originally written for just those saints, to encourage them in living within very difficult times, and in deciding how they were going to live, knowing that the end of all things could very well be near, it could be at hand. Is it any surprise then to learn that the very earliest Christians were absolutely fascinated with the book of Daniel? They were. It's no surprise at all, for they also believed that a new age was dawning, and that the kingdom which they had seen in the person of Jesus was now breaking into the world. They had confidence that their God would ultimately triumph over everything, and that God would finally vindicate his faithful ones, the holy ones, the very saints of God. So what does all of this mean for those of us in this room as we gather for worship on this All Saints Sunday in 2016? Well, for one thing, it means that we should rejoice with the risen Christ at those faithful saints of God who have gone on before us and found safe arrival on the other side, many of them in spite of serious difficulty and much suffering. And it reminds us that we should work even harder, I think, to overcome the discomfort that too many evangelical Christians have with that word saint. Just one more proof of how much Christian tradition we ignore out of an unhealthy fear of anything that sounds the least bit Roman Catholic. That word saint is a perfectly good word, for it speaks of the faithful. It talks about God's holy ones. In fact, the Apostle Paul loved the word saint so much that he couldn't write a letter without using it. We should embrace it too. And this All Saints Day reminds us that we should spend at least a few moments this week thinking about the brothers and sisters we have lost within the life of this congregation in the last 12 months. We must remember and be grateful to God for John Anchors and Vreeland George, for Tom Davis, Marilyn Yeomans, and C.B. Lamar, for Flory Kirkley, Randy Lazard, and Bob Wyatt, and most recently for Mary Louise Claiborne, Janet Grant Girton, and Phyllis Hardiman. They and hundreds more just like them graced our lives and blessed our church. And they now encompass us about as a great cloud of witnesses, encouraging us as we, with patience, run the race set before us. They were God's faithful, holy ones to us all. This is what our church is about on All Saints Sunday each year, what every congregation of believers is about on every Resurrection Sunday. We hear again the promise that God's blessing is upon the deprived, the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the rejected. We recall those faithful believers who have died in persecution, as well as those who are dying today in their Christian faith in places like southern Sudan and Iraq and Nigeria and Syria and many, many other places in the world. But we also remember and celebrate that wider circle of believing Christians who have preceded us in the life of faith and all of those who will succeed us. We share the common enemy of death, but more important than that, we share a common faith in Jesus Christ, whose resurrection is more powerful than any grave. Often at funeral services, I will use the phrase, until that final day when we all shall come to that river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's taken from Psalm 46, the one which begins with the words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It is the very same psalm that inspired Martin Luther to write, in the year of his greatest depression, his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, which we sang in worship just this past Sunday. As with Daniel's vision, the psalmist was looking toward that day more fully described by the Apostle John in the book of the Revelation. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. This, you see, is what our God has accomplished through the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He faced up to every power of evil, including the final enemy of death, and was vindicated by the power of God for having done so. So, friends, if we go out of here this morning remembering any one thing, let it be this: what our God has done for Jesus, he will do for us all. It is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ around which we gather on this All Saints Sunday, remembering the lives of our faithful ones, the flaming feet of all the martyrs, and the glowing lights of all God's gentle ones. And as we do, we also remember this: because of Jesus Christ in us, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. As we come this morning to the table of our Lord, help us to recall with gratitude the faithfulness which led our Lord Jesus all the way to the cross for our sakes. And help us commit ourselves every day to loving you and serving others by living saintly, holy lives. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. trusting as we do in the power of our God to rescue us and to deliver us. Let us make our prayers of intercession for all this morning, first praying silently, and then as we offer together the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. O God of the faithful in every age, show us what it truly means to be called blessed, suffering with the despised, weeping with the afflicted, hungering for justice and peace, desiring only your holy reign. Teach us to love one another even as you have loved us, so that all may know your blessing. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, we confess that we have not turned away from sin. We do not try to love our enemies or bless those who curse us. We do not always turn the other cheek or give to those in need. Forgive us, God of grace. Open our hearts to your way so that we might one day share an inheritance among all the saints. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, we pray this morning for the world all around us. Bless those who are hungry because we sometimes fail to share your bounty, and let them be filled with good things. Bless those who are poor this day and living in the streets. Let them receive your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for our loved ones wherever they may be today. Bless those who are weeping in their sickness or their sorrow. Let them laugh with joy once again. And bless especially Wick and Charlie and Tina, as well as all those who have suffered the loss of loved ones in recent days or months, and all others who need your help this day. Lord, in your mercy. Living God of all the ages, your love defies death, and your covenant is sure. Make us children of the resurrection, so that we may celebrate with you and with all of your beloved ones at the marriage feast in the age to come. For we pray through Jesus Christ, who lives in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, and who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You
rooted as we are in the gifts of God and in the examples of those who have gone before us, and committed as we are to growing in faith and in Christ and in generosity, let us give this morning out of gratitude and in hopes of growing God's kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that you abundantly provide for every living thing, and we are grateful for all of your many gifts, for the transformation you bring which lifts us out of darkness, for relentless love that cannot fail, and for creating new life even out of death. Enable us by your Spirit to live as people of gratitude who help others to experience your love and grace. And we pray that our gifts would do the same. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Come to the table.
come now to the table of our Lord, which is the table of grace and peace. And like so many saints throughout the ages, we gather around it still today to participate in the symbol that reminds us of who he was and is and what he did and still does today. All who claim Christ as Lord are invited to come. Now, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus, according to his custom, was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And at this particular meal, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said to them, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Body of our Lord, broken for us all.
Scripture also records that in the same way also Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out for us all. Scripture also reminds us, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now. If you are here this morning and would profess your own faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or come expressing a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this good place, as we sing this great hymn of the people, we would receive you with great joy. Seated. Each Sunday at First Baptist Church, we're privileged to welcome a number of new friends and sometimes returning friends. We have guests this morning from Greensboro, North Carolina, as well as Chicago, Illinois, and perhaps from here in our own city of Savannah as well. Welcome to all of you. Do give our people an opportunity to greet you following the service. They would like very much to do that. Quickly, by way of announcement, immediately following worship today, you'll be given the opportunity to share in our church's benevolent offering, which is received on Communion Sundays, as a way of helping less fortunate members of our community who may be facing emergency needs in their lives. So watch for ushers in the narthex who will be prepared to receive your gifts today. Also, following worship, there will be a fellowship hour in Lewis Hall, sponsored by members of the Fellowship Task Force. Please join us for this time of refreshment and conversation following the service today. On Wednesday night of this week, we will gather for a fellowship meal at 5 o'clock, followed by activities for all age groups. This week, during the adult study time, two new classes will be offered, one on the history and the inner workings of our beloved E.M. Skinner pipe organ, and the other, a holiday craft project series for adults. Join us if you are able. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction and the response by the choir? Let us pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.